This is Dairy Radio Now with Bill Baker.
Welcome to our Milky Monday, and Lee Milky's guest this Monday is Lucas Feast from High Ground Dairy. Lee?
Lucas, U.S. dairy exports were record high last year, but they did hit some headwinds in December.
Yeah, for sure, Lee. It was kind of interesting to dissect this most recent data that we got last week. Of course, 2021 as a whole, a record for U.S. dairy exports. Very encouraging to dairy farmers who can see this product leaving U.S. ports and leaves less available for the domestic market. Of course, supporting prices for all the product that we are able to move overseas. But to your point, December, maybe a few red flags there, depending on how this shapes up into the first few months of 2022. Maybe starting on a good note, though, cheese exports still very strong into December. It was the sixth consecutive month of higher product leaving the U.S. Mexican demand really supporting those cheese numbers in the month. However, the red flags, though, like you mentioned, non-fat dry milk slipping lower versus prior year and down sharply versus November. It was the lowest non-fat dry milk exports in almost 2 years there, possibly a concerning sign that maybe shows that these logistical and shipping issues are hindering the ability of U.S. exporters to move product overseas. That's not to say, though, that it's a change in global sentiment. We have still seen these prices tick higher as supply availability is tight from around the world. Maybe a little bit on dry whey too, kind of a similar situation there. China really slowing purchases and exports moved to a 23-month low, the weakest of any month since January 2020 in dry whey. I think to sum this up overall, 2021 was so strong that it could be kind of difficult to meet or exceed those numbers into 2022. So I think a kind of a cautionary sign there, even if we do see weaker exports, it still might not be a huge red flag overall, but it's important to remember how strong 2021 was as we try to compete with that in the upcoming months. Maybe a bit on prices. It is encouraging to see all this product leaving U.S. shores, coupled with pretty robust domestic demand, should keep prices well supported here through the first half of the year.
Lucas Feast, Director of Dairy Market Intelligence with High Ground Dairy in Chicago.
Thanks, Lee. The beginning of a global pandemic was not the worst thing that happened to a Pennsylvania dairy farmer back more than 2 years ago. Matthew Brake shares his story.
Yeah, so we farm down in Mercersburg, Pennsylvania. Right now we're milking around 110 cows and we farm 400 acres owned and rented. We actually had a barn fire back in December of 2019. At that point, we had some decisions to make. Do we rebuild? Do we exit the industry? And the decision was made between myself, my siblings, my dad, and my grandfather that we wanted to see cows come home. And so with that, we did two robotic milkers, two Lely A5s, two Lely Discovery collectors, and then also a Lely Vector.
He explains his thought process when transferring over to robotics on the farm.
Yeah, so we were actually milking in an old Surge sawtooth parlor that was built back in 1950, so one of the first parlors in the county. So the robots brought in a whole level of technology that we didn't have before. It took us from a 19th century dairy to a truly 21st. Just became a lot more accuracy between feedings. We weren't using the TMR before, and now that Vector is acting as the TMR.
From the milking side of things, he says information is key.
Because that robot's collecting data off of every single milking, we're able to identify chronic cases of mastitis and even subclinical cases a lot earlier too, and also figuring out how to better get our cows to be more efficient.
Comments from dairy farmer Matthew Brake, and for those that want to convert over to robotic dairying?
Robotic managing is a lot different. I mean, yeah, right now I'm up here at the Dairy Summit, dad's at home with the cows, and we're able to do that where one person can manage the farm for a little bit of time, but you still need to be there with your cows and be present. And so you need to ask people, you know, what is your traditional work day like, and issues have you had transitioning? Because the cows learn a lot quicker than we farmers do, that's for sure. We are able to switch who all's on call, so my dad can handle calls, myself, my brother, my sister whenever she returns home. So that takes the pressure off of one person. And even if the person who is on call isn't on farm, you know, they can relay information to somebody who is. And I think that's just where it all comes down to. Yeah, you're on call 24/7, but my day can end at 3 o'clock on a Saturday and I can go enjoy some evening events.
Those are comments from Pennsylvania dairy farmer Matthew Brake. Stay with us tomorrow for our PDPW Producer Tuesday. Thanks for listening. I'm Bill Baker, Dairy Radio Now.